So this morning what we're going to talk about is that of being different. You know, Britt led the song this morning about this world is not my home. And that song is really a good anthem, if you will, for the Christian life. And that this world is not our home. And that the idea of being different to a Christian is not a strange concept this morning. Whenever we talk about the Christian life, we talk about a life that is different and looks different to that of the world. That people in the world can look at the Christian life, they can view the Christian life, and they can say, these people are different. They don't act like everyone else, or we're not supposed to. It's not a strange concept. And matter of fact, I know oftentimes during the year we will hear sermons that are of the variety of Christians being different, that are of the variety of Christians letting their light shine, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed. And that whenever we become a Christian, we're going down into the water, an old person, sinner, and we're raised to walk in newness of life, a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus, that we are those things. And so it's not a strange concept that we talk about those things throughout the year. The idea of us being different is not strange to our life. It's a life that should mirror that of Christ, because Christ told us that it should be noticeably different. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus in Matthew 5 and 16 told us that that's what our life should be like. If we're following Him, if we're His disciples, then it's going to be a life that's noticeably different, that people can see it. And that's where I want us to look at this morning. Because whenever you open up the book of Esther and you begin looking in the book of Esther, I came across Haman speaking. And Haman noticing something about the children of Israel. They were different. They were letting their light shine, if you will, for God. He says in Esther chapter 3, verse number 8, Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among all the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all the people. Neither keep they the king's law, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. These were a people that Haman noticed, the children of Israel. And he notices these people, and he says to King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people that we have inside of our land, and they're different than the other people. They're different than us. They don't act like us. They don't mimic the things that we do. And he says, you know what? It's not even profitable for us to have them in our land because they're so different. You know, there was an atheist at one time talking about that of a worldly Christian. And as the atheist and this worldly Christian were talking, they were talking about their differences. And the conclusion that the atheist came to, he said, you know, the difference between me and you is that I don't waste an hour on Sunday. And that shouldn't be that of a Christian. The life of a Christian should be that of a noticeable difference in our walk, because the world is not our home. People should be able to see it, and this is what Haman has seen. He sees a people that is different. And so it leads me to say, what does the world say about you this morning? If you think about your year in review, what would the world say about you? How have you lived this year, this week, that someone in the world could look at and say, they're different. They're not like us. Are you different? I came across a Christian one time, and we were talking, and he was using foul language and saying all these things, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Man, this is real. I'm talking to you real, man. This is what the world talks like." And I'm like, "I know. What are you doing? Because you're not supposed to be like the world." "Oh, that's just real talk." Is it? It's not real talk to the Christian. Because talk from the Christian, wasn't the song "Angry Words, So Let Them Never From Our Tongue Unbridled Slip"? Is that not different? How are you different then? If we go outside from this building and we look like the world, how are we different? How is our light shining? What attractiveness do we have, or do we offer the world if we look like the world? This world isn't our home. There was an interview done by Charlie Rose to Bill Maher. And I don't like Bill Maher very much and his stance on Christianity, but Charlie Rose and them were talking about world religions, and they were talking about Islam and about how Islam is this evil religion that pushes hatred and kills people and jihad and things like that. And Charlie Rose said, "And a vast number of Christians are like that too." And Bill Maher, who is an atheist that documented doesn't like Christianity, he says, No, that's not true. That's not true. Vast number of Christians don't believe that if you leave the Christian religion that you should be killed for it. Vast number of Christians don't treat women as second-class citizens. Vast numbers of Christians don't act like that. As opposed to what Charlie Rose said. That's not how Christians act. You see, Christians acting like Christians are noticeable to the outside world. People notice that we don't act like that of Islam. That we don't wage jihad. Now, there's been people through the ages who've done evil things in the name of Christ, but that wasn't sanctioned by the Bible. That wasn't sanctioned by the laws of Christ. The Great Crusades. What makes a Christian different? He says in Titus chapter 2, verse number 14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." A people that is zealous of good works. A people that helps people out. That does good for others. That's the life of a Christian, a life that's characterized by that of good works. He says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." A people zealous of good works, walking in good works, characterized by good works. That's the life of a Christian. And the people see our good works. Isn't that what Jesus said? That they might see your good works and glorify God in heaven. People see our good works. So much so that an atheist can look at our lives and they can say, "No, those people are not like that of Islam. Those people don't act like other religions." What about for those Christians that go out there and try to look like the world? What about for the churches out there that say, "Listen, if we ever want to attract someone to our church, then we need to look like the world." I've heard that several times. One of my friends, Raised Church of Christ, that I was talking to here recently about the church. "Are you still a member of the Church of Christ?" And he says, "Well, yeah, kinda." I was like, "What do you mean, kind of?" He said, "Well, we're the Church of Christ, but we took the name Church of Christ off. And we're more liberal now." in our beliefs. And I'm like, oh, really? Because that's the mindset that is creeping into Christianity, that if we want to attract people to church, if we want to attract people from the world to come in here, then we need to look like the world. How can we? If we're people known by our works, glorifying God in heaven, how can we look like the world and expect to accomplish that? I want you to see something, and I'm going to give you the condensed version of this for time's sake. Very, very condensed version of it, okay? Jesus knows our works. But in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2, he says unto the church of Ephesus, I know your works. Then the condensed version for this in Smyrna, Revelation 2, verse number 8, I know your works. Jesus talking to the churches, I know your works. Unto the church in Pergamos, Revelation 2, 12 and 13, I know your works. Unto the church in Wheeler, I know your works. Jesus knows our works. He knows what we're doing. He knows the things that we do. Individually, yes, he knows our works. As a group, together, as a whole, he knows our works. And if he was to write a letter like he did to the churches in Ephesus and Pergamos and Smyrna and Thyatira and those churches there, what would he say about us? Would he say, I know your works, that you're stand fast for my word, that you oppose those that oppose the doctrine of Christ, that you, or what would he say about us? That one always blows my mind right there, really it does. Because one of those is a church concert and the other one is a rock and roll concert. And there's really not much difference to it. There's churches all over our country today that feel like they have to worship like this in an effort to gain these people. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they were the same people. I mean, really. Why would we want to look like the world and act like the world and the things that are of the world? Why would we want that? What would characterize us from being different? What would set us apart from the crowd? What attractiveness do we have to the world if we look like the world? What about this photo? I like this. This is a classic photo in history. Here you got people standing there hailing Hitler. And you got that fella there with his arms crossed seemingly. Now, I don't know about you, but that probably wasn't a good thing to do at the time. Because not many people opposed Hitler that lived in Germany. Okay? Could you imagine? I mean, isn't he being noticeably different? Stand up for right even when no one else is standing up for right? And for truth? I mean, that's the life of a Christian right there. Being different, set apart from the crowd, not looking like everyone else. We won't talk about all the bad things that the Third Reich did and what they did in Nazi Germany. We won't mention all those things, but we will take time to point out that that fella stood out, that he was different. That when everyone else was hailing Hitler, he didn't. And so when everyone else in the world is looking like the world, when every other church in the world is trying to look like the world, that we're setting out, that we're set apart, that we're not of that. He says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not being conformed to the world. By renewing our mind, you see, it takes a different mind. Takes on us a different mind. The things that we see are different. The things that we hear are different. What we do is different. The things that we speak are different. The things that we think about are different. Vastly different. Maybe I stand before you this morning being one who is among you who once lived in the world as someone who wasn't raised as a Christian. I mean, I took on the name of Christ. I told people that I was a Christian, but yet I did not live as a Christian. I was never baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. I lived in the world. And I can testify to you today about that different mindset that you have to take on to follow Christ. You see, whenever you're of the world, the things that you think about are vastly different than the things you think about when you're a Christian. And whenever you set yourself apart from it and then you go back to those old ways, you can tell, you can see the things that you used to listen to, watch, the people you hung out with, how different they really are. And it almost blows your mind to say, man, that's what I come from. There is a renewing of your mind that has to happen if you're a Christian. Whenever you take on the name of Christ, that you don't continue to look like the world, that you don't continue to live like the world. People ought to see it. They ought to hear it. And the things that you say, how you act should be different. Renewing of your mind, not being conformed to the world. Now I want you to notice something else. Something else Haman said. He said, their laws are diverse. Their laws are different from all the people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it's not for the king's prophet to keep them, to suffer them. These people shouldn't be in your land. You know, that's what Hitler told the people of Germany. He said, these people, these Jews, are not good for this land. We need to get them out of here. And that's exactly what Haman is talking about. You know why Haman said this? If you just back up a few more verses, you're going to look at a fellow named Mordecai. And whenever the king's decree went forth that Haman was this right-hand man of the king and that people should bow down and give reverence to Haman as being this high person up in the ladder of the king's men, that Mordecai, a Jew, would not bow down and worship Haman. And Haman saw this and he said, these people. And so he mixes a truth in with a lie in order to convince the king that he needs to get rid of these people. And that's what he did here. He took truth. The truth was there are people in your land and they're different. They don't act like us. That's true. And it should be true of us today. That we're a people in this land, that we're a people in this world, but we don't act like the world. That we don't look like the world. But then Haman took a lie and he threw it into it. It's been said that the best lies are always mixed with the truth. That's how people are convinced of lies most of the time. You take a little bit of truth and you mix it in with a lie. Or a little bit of lie and mix it in with the truth. That's more appropriate. That's what he did. He said their laws are different. Matter of fact, they won't even follow your laws. But I want you to know that there are godly principles that guide us in following the laws of the land. If you look in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 12, 1 and 2, he says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resist the powers, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And it goes on from there in the next several verses, but just to look at those in particular. What about this? What if the law was made that says you shall not worship God anymore, that you can't come to church, would you then observe the same law? You could look at examples in Scripture, such as in Daniel, whenever he says, for the next 30 days, no one shall worship anyone but you, King Darius. And Daniel bowed down and prayed to God just like he always did. There's godly principles that govern the things that we do. And unless it just blatantly says that we can't worship God, that we can't pray to God, things like that, then we should follow the laws of the land. Pay tribute to Caesar, so to speak. Render therefore to the people all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. That's Romans 13:7. Rendering the things to Caesar like Jesus told us to do. Why do we do that? Why do we act the way we do? Why do we honor people the way we do? Why do we do the things that we do? Well, he tells us, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. There's that word again. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. You see, we're a different people, a peculiar people, royal priesthood, chosen, holy. And we act different because we are different. Because we're called out of them. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. You see the idea of the Christian, though we are in this world, we're separate from this world. We're not the same, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That we're separate from the world. We look different. We act different because we are different. Revelation 18:4. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Sit. Because we're called of God, we're called out of the world. Not wanting to look like the world. But there's so many people out there who want to change the church, to change their own lives, to say, I'm a Christian. You know, I think maybe that's the problem with denominationalized teaching today, is that they teach you can be whatever you want to be. You don't have to conform to the Word of God. Just be whoever you want to. Just say, Jesus, you're my Savior. No matter what you are, He's going to save you if you say that. And you can go out and live whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to say. And you got all these preachers teaching this. And even if you go out and sin, it's okay. Because you're never going to fall away from God's grace. You're always saved as soon as you say that Jesus is your Savior. Hey, as soon as you say that you're saved and you can live however you want to live, and you can always be good because we're all on different roads, but we're going to the same place. That's the problem with the denominationalized teaching today. Because it led to that. Direct contradictions to what the Word of God told us to do. Come out from among them and be separate. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Don't be partakers of their sins. Stand against the crowd. Look different. Why? For you are bought with a price. The price that we've come to observe this morning. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God. Be zealous of good works. Let people see your good works and glorify Him. Because you're bought with a price. The price was the blood of the Lamb. God's own Son crucified for you so that you could look like the world. No. So that you could be different. So that you didn't have to be part of the world anymore. You're bought with a price. As we close these next verses here, he says, "These things have I spoken," Jesus said, "unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world you should have tribulation." What? In the world you're going to have tribulation? "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, we serve a God who's overcome this world. He was different than the world. The world hated him for it. And we can be different today as well. We can overcome the world through Christ today. He says, "For everyone who hath been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." I think that's the English Standard Version of it. Everyone who has been born of God has overcome the world. So, as we conclude this morning, be different because you're chosen, because you're holy, because you're a peculiar people. You're bought with a price, not being conformed to this world. And this morning, if you're here and you have never been born again, then you've never overcome the world. You're still in this world. You're still of this world. And when this life is over, you will perish with this world. But if you have overcome the world and you found yourself living in sin again, you got to know you've joined the world again and you need to change. You need to repent.